War in the Middle East, global powers align, economies tremble, and prophecy unfolds. This is the Week in Review. The unfiltered, uncensored truth starts now.
Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton, all the way from New York City. How are things going up there, David?
I'm good. I have a question, though.
Okay.
It said the uncensored truth starts now. So I was wondering if that's like now when we're recording, or like now when the, you know, the viewers, our lovely friend here, starts the show.
Well, I'm going to say it's when we start recording because, and, you know, I couldn't have said that like 2-3 years ago because, you know, news would last forever, it seemed like. But now a news story can be an old story in like 30 minutes.
I mean, it's
incredible.
Like Iran right now.
All right, David, go ahead and pray us into the show and we'll get going.
All right. Father, we thank you for this time together. We know your return is imminent, and we continually look up for your return to come and get us. We thank you that we can share the word in the meantime, and we'll be diligent to do your will and purposes while we're here. And we pray that this seed goes forth and produces 30, 60, and 100 fold. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. I'm going to show you guys what we kind of have on the agenda, but that doesn't mean that we're going to stick to it. So I'm just warning you. We'll talk about the U.S. Domestic turmoil a little bit, and protests, federal actions, global tensions, and the great power alignments that's going on right now. It's something you guys really need to pay attention to. Then we got the economic quakes here, the food supply chains, digital dependencies, and you know me and that Bitcoin, David. I'm still staying far, far away from it. And then we'll talk about the moral collapse, persecution, and the growing cry for righteousness. If we have time, you know, you just never know where we're going to go in one of these shows. So
it might be fun.
Yeah. I'm going to put this up, and we'll see if we're just going to go along with this stuff or if we're going to break free from it. Here we go. Middle East eruptions, Israel, Iran, and the shaking of nations. This past week saw the most volatile escalation in the Middle East since the October War of 1973. Israel launched a series of preemptive high-precision airstrikes deep into Iranian territory, targeting nuclear research facilities, missile production centers, and key IRGC command nodes. Tehran, I'll get it right in a minute, responded with ballistic missiles, barrage aimed at Israel's military bases and critical infrastructure. That's incorrect. They were just shooting up stuff and hoping that it hit somebody and hoping that it killed Jews. Don't tell me that they tried to target anything. They didn't. Never. Not once.
Well, they don't have a targeting system.
No, they do not. Hezbollah.
Point and shoot.
Yeah. Hezbollah simultaneously increased its rocket fire from southern Lebanon with IDF retaliatory strikes, flattening dozens of launching sites and weapon depots. Reports confirm Israeli armored brigades are now massed along the northern border, signaling the potential for a ground incursion into Lebanon. And then in Syria, you got multiple Iranian-aligned militia positions were also struck by Israeli warplanes, including around Damascus. Russian troops stationed in Syria remain neutral, but were placed on high alert, raising fears of great power entanglement. And I'm going to go ahead, David, put the next one up here real quick. This is also same region from a prophetic lens, the alignment of Iran, Syria, and Lebanon as hostile actors against Israel's mirror warnings in Ezekiel 38 and 39, and also Isaiah 17. Israel's increasingly isolated posture and simultaneous northern and eastern threats foreshadow the prophesied time of Jacob's trouble. That's Jeremiah 30, verse 7. The convergence of nations against Israel reflects Zechariah's vision. I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people around about. That's Zechariah 12:2. The global community is fractured in response. While some Western nations call for de-escalation, others begin covert mobilization of forces in the region, hinting at proxy escalation. Peace seems further away than ever, and the cries for a strong mediator, potentially a global peacemaker, have grown louder. This intensifies speculation surrounding the rise of the Antichrist figure that's prophesied in 2 Thessalonians 2 and Revelation 13. Now, David, I put a lot of stuff up on the screen there, and I heard you react to two or three times. So whatever you got out of that, or whatever you want to take apart, go ahead.
Yeah, well, the first thing you said was there's things erupting. So what came to my mind is, hey, let's talk about something more fun, like volcanoes.
There you go. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so the Middle East is just chaos. I did get a kick out of the Ayatollah. I don't know if you remember the song from I think it was the 70s or early 80s, and it was bomb, 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 Iran.
Bomb, yeah, bomb. I remember
they,
that.
They would rock your Ayatollah, sock your Ayatollah, bomb Iran. I don't know how politically correct that is today.
Yeah.
But the whole country was in on it. It's like, hey, it's all good. Yeah. And then, but he came out, what was it, 3-4 days ago, and he's like, oh, we got something planned that they'll talk about in history for the next 100 years.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Be careful tonight.
Yeah, it is the truth. They are going to talk about it for the next 100 years. How you know, if we're here, that how Iran kept yelling what they were going to do, and they didn't have anything, and they were all hat and no cattle, and got oh boy.
And it's like, when do they ever give up on the rhetoric? I mean, it's like no one believes you. I don't know. So,
well, I have. There's a lot of reports out there, and I'm not really sure which ones to believe. So I'll give you both of them. One is that Trump was not told about this stuff in advance. He was really mad about it. Called what's his name? Netanyahu called him, and you know, told him, hey, you know, you messed up. The United States isn't going to support you at all, and all this kind of stuff. And then you hear about all the support that was given to them, you know, being able to track things by satellite and all that other kind of good stuff. So, yeah, the United States helped them. So the other thing was is that Trump and Netanyahu cooked all this stuff up together, you know, to where they would appear to be splintered on something. And all these other countries got happy. Oh, now we can move. And they just like drew them into a trap, you know?
Yeah. And 100% that's where it's at. I mean,
yeah, I think that's it too. Go ahead, David. Yeah.
Just read it. Read his book, you know, the art of the deal. Well, he read The Art of War, and listen, all this stuff is in there. You know, first of all, make them think you're crazy. Like King David did, remember, who was drooling. And say, oh, this guy's nuts. And then he came and attacked him. So that's just the MO. Because he clearly said on many occasions, people, you know, especially when like the press came up, well, aren't you going to tell us what you're going to do? He said, that'd be the stupidest thing to tell the news what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And this way the enemy knows that what to counteract. Now, it's all a ruse. I think the teenage boy fit that him and Elon had was fake too.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah, they had to, because you know it not for nothing, but you know Elon's powerful just because he literally has more money than the next two in line, which is Bezos and Gates, more of them put together. So he's really powerful. I think to have all that power in one spot, they didn't think that was probably a good idea. So make it look like they split up, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm looking at it from, you know, trying to find out who's on your side and who's not. So, if he puts out all these things on
that's a good point,
the network, you know, then he's either going to get, his friends to go along with him, or he's not. And so he's going to figure out who's really on his side and who's not. And I'm sure he has no problem saying you're fired any more than Donald Trump did.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, because now everybody was yay Trump Elon team. Let's see who splits up and goes against the other. Mm-hmm. Where the vast majority of people that I saw says, "Oh, come on, boys, make up."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
make up, or they just didn't believe it to begin with. He's like, "Yeah, mm-hmm. we know what they're doing."
Well, I took it as he was having a fit. Because I've said this to you privately offline, and I'm really not trying to insult the man. I mean, he's the richest man in the world, so he's doing something right. But I look at him as having some kind of an issue. I don't know what it is, ADD, ADHD, bipolar, whatever. I mean, he's got something, because he's just too bouncy and everything. He's just too crazy.
And he does like things that aren't necessarily socially acceptable.
Right. Yeah. And so, he gets himself
in
trouble.
He doesn't have much of a filter. Yeah.
Yeah. He gets himself in trouble. And
that's why he's a genius. I mean, that's why savants, that's what happens. Part of the brain, it doesn't work for whatever reason. And so the rest of the brain hyperactivates to compensate. And then you become. I just think he's got something like that going on.
Good, but not
to a point where he can't operate.
Oh no, he's smart as everything. Yeah, he's. I mean, anybody make a rocket ship come back down and land?
Jesus,
yeah, I hope he does. I hope he does accept.
Oh,
Christ.
Did you see that? The smartest guy in the world, Coon something or other. Mm. It was. There's lots of stuff going out, and he's got like an IQ of 247, something like that.
Oh, wow.
246. Some crazy, ridiculous IQ. Like, way smarter than everybody else. So I just put out a post. I said, well, mine's 247. They just forgot to ask me. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which, clearly, it's not.
Yeah, okay.
But he's like, oh, I studied the quantum physics and the dynamics, and I studied all this, and I found that Jesus has to be God. He is the Savior. He's 100% true. The Bible is absolutely perfect and inerrant. And here's the smartest man in the world telling all these people that, this is it. It's just, it's what it is. and we must be eternal just because of the quantum physics. It says it just proves we're eternal.
Oh, wow.
Which, we've been saying for a while because of, it's a digital universe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a digital universe has to be, created and temporal. So if the digital universe is temporal, we exist outside of that in our spirit world. So we're eternal because we are information packets, not just physical beings. And information is timeless.
Yeah. Well.
Well, there's that. So.
Well, now,
Elon has a chance because he's super smart doesn't mean he's not gonna receive the Lord.
Yeah,
the smartest man in the world
has
proved that Jesus is Lord.
Yeah, one thing about him, David, is I watch him with his kids, and you can tell his kids just adore him.
He acts like him. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I mean I'm sure he has rules for them and all that, but they sure don't look like it. And I'm saying that in a good way, not in a bad way at all. But he, like, for instance, took his little son X, that's his real name, took his little son X into the Oval Office, and, I mean, little X was, he was on the loose. I mean, he wasn't being held or anything. He was down there on the ground talking and, rubbing
like
his
Kennedy.
Booger on the desk and everything, I mean. I've got to think he's a great father. I think he's a great humanitarian. I really don't. I mean, I'm sure there's issues that I disagree with him on. I don't know his stance on almost everything, but I would disagree with him if I needed to, but I haven't needed to so far.
The only thing, what I would disagree is, making putting chip in everybody's head.
Yeah, no, the chip in the head thing. Yeah, I'm
and then going to Mars. I don't think we're going to make it to Mars. It's a nice idea, but Mars wasn't designed for human life. Earth was.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Well, I get where it's coming from. Oh, he understands that the Earth is, falling apart, which is what the Bible says. And I think we pray that he understands that that's how God created it, and that's what it says in his word.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Young Hoon Kim, that's the guy.
Okay.
Young Hoon Kim, he's a South Korean scientist, 276 of IQ. That's crazy. Wow.
That's crazy, all right, yeah.
Because the baseline is 100, that's normal. Okay, here's the average, we call that 100, so. Let me see. Publicly, he declared that Jesus Christ is God, a clear expression of future faith. Okay.
Is this some guy that follows the science and figured that out by himself? Cool. Okay. Congratulations to him. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And that's what I've always done from the beginning. I said, show me the truth. Show me this. And it started in Revelation, started in creation. I looked at all the science of creation. I said, evolution's ridiculous. I mean, how could you even believe this?
Yeah,
so there was science there, and then in the quantum physics realm. So it's the same path for me. It's one word, Younghoon, Younghoon, and then Kim, because... Everybody's in Korea.
A Kim, I know, and it must Korea, if it's Korea, they're a Kim, trust me, man, if you have the last name of Kim, you're in trouble over there, you're never going to get your mail.
It's like the old joke, there's more chins than a Chinese phone book. But that's him, so he says it, so let's pray. Father, we thank you for Elon, since you brought this topic up, and as he can see this smartest man in the world, so he can get to someone on his level and understand the quantumness of it and his whole spirit, and receive you as Savior and use all that money for good in the world. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, he's got enough money to make everybody happy, And
he could literally give everyone in the United States $1 million.
He could, I mean, that would be awesome. I mean, I don't expect it to happen, but that would be great. Elon, if you want to do that, that's fine. I've got no problem.
Yeah, we'll do good things with it.
We will take it. We will take it. And we'll be back.
On more radio stations.
Yeah, and we'll be. Yeah, I was fixing to say we'll be right back. I mean, just because we, if we were able to get something like that, believe me, we would use it in the ministry, 100%. But if you got it, send it. We'll put it to good use.
You don't know what to do with it. Have lots of things to do.
Yeah,
to get
we'll be back every time we're supposed to be back. I promise you. We do this not for the money. Believe me on that one. we do it hoping to get the message out there. That's what we hope to do. Okay, David, we still got some time left, so let's go ahead and put this one up here.
That was a fun detour.
We'll look at global tensions and the great power alignments. So across Europe and Asia, you got the geopolitical chessboard is shifting rapidly. NATO conducting its largest readiness exercise since the Cold War, with over 90,000 troops mobilized across the Baltics and Eastern Europe. These drills, officially labeled as defensive, are a clear signal to Moscow. In other words, here's our strength, but Russia's kind of strong too, guys. Russia, meanwhile, has begun amassing troops again near Ukraine's eastern and southern borders, raising fears of a renewed full-scale offensive, which is coming. Reports of cyber attacks against NATO infrastructure have increased. Western intelligence confirms that Russia is continuing to supply Iran with drones and military equipment in exchange for Iranian oil and technological assistance. The Russia-China-Iran axis appears to be tightening. I want to get your comments on that, David, before we move on with it. What do you think about this, Russia and China and, you know, Iran? Or do you think they're really coming together now? Or has Iran taken such a beating that Russia doesn't care about them anymore?
Yeah, I mean, Putin, he's very smart. And he's going to do something. He's going to align with people that are going to run with him, mm-hmm. and help him, and they can run together. He's not the guy that's, you know, like United States, oh, we got to pick up all the poor people and carry them around. Mm-hmm. He's not like that. Hit the ball and drag them, you know? Yeah. Hey, come on. Boom. All right. No, he's not like, he wants somebody that's going to run alongside him. So I don't know.
No,
I don't know. And it's hard to read. Like we always talk about, you know, prophecy is esoteric. And we won't really know exactly, because Sheba and Dudan, basically Saudi Arabia et al, they're supposed to be sitting on the sidelines saying, are you coming to take a spoil? Mm-hmm. So people are saying, oh, they're just going to sit and watch. But then last week they said, okay, we're going to stand with Israel and give them any support they need. Mm-hmm. Because they're technically our brothers, because they deem themselves sons of Ishmael.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, David. I really didn't think that Iran would go down to this level and, you know, have what looks to be regime change coming. I didn't think that would happen. I figured that they were just getting stronger and stronger and stronger, and they were going to, you know, combined with Russia and everybody else that's written of in the Bible and come down on Israel. That's what I really was thinking. And you know,
you have
still,
to remember this
still
too.
Could happen, I guess. Go ahead.
Yeah, it could. But they would only, you know, politics makes strange bedfellows, as they say. Mm-hmm. And that what you really have to look at is we go back again to the beginning and we look at the Book of Enoch. Mm-hmm. And we think, oh, the Nephilim, and all too many of us Nephilim-chasing type prophecy people, they lump them all into one. Oh, there is the Nephilim. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I need to remind everyone again, there was actually three major races of Nephilim that were all against each other. Okay. So you're going to see the evil powers of the world, and they're not all going to be on the same side. Because one evil power says, I want to be the chief evil power.
They want to be the king. I got it.
Everybody wants to be the king, and they're going to be fighting each other. Mm-hmm. And so all these alliances are strictly for the reason I just told you about Putin, is they want to see who's going to be the one to make them stronger.
Right.
Hey, I'll take you on my side as long as you know that I'm going to be the king, okay? Mm-hmm. And that's what it is. If they say, no, well, I want to be the king, now they're fighting instead of friends. And that's what we're going to see at the end. That's what the Battle of Armageddon is all about.
Yeah.
People don't realize that. They, you know, a lot of prophecy people will think of the Armageddon is that's where the whole world is going to gather in order to fight Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not exactly. They're all gathering together to fight each other, and that's just Jesus gathering them all together so he can destroy them all at once in one spot. So they gather together to fight each other, and then when they see Jesus come, then they're all buddies, because now, oh, he wants to be the king, let's all go after him, and thinking, and then we'll come and fight each other again. So that's the Battle of Armageddon, is all these different kings all coming against each other. So I don't see them in true alliances anywhere. I think all of them are fighting. If you go to Mount Hermon, you got the 70 nations thing going down, and you got all those different leaders. You got the seven heads and 10 horns. They're all different. And if you see three of them popped out, and then there's one who's more stout than his brothers, and he's taken over the rest of them. So you can even see in the seven heads and 10 horns prophecies that they're all fighting each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I never really noticed that before. Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't see any real true alliances. I think they're all evil powers, and they're all vying to be the top dog.
Yeah. The enemy of my enemy is your friend. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. And then when they think they can get over, they basically throw the other country under the bus. is what it comes down to, right? You know, there,
it happens with all evil spirits.
Yeah, Iran hates Israel. That's their number one thing is to eliminate every Jew.
Careful when you say that. The people are actually friends.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
a huge number of Christians in Iran.
Yeah,
I
stand corrected on that because the people are fine, but the government, the leaders up there, they are from the Shiite group, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, and you know they believe in killing people is a good thing, forcing conversions is a good thing.
Yeah, women are property.
Yeah, I mean they've got a lot of stuff there that people here in the United States are actually protesting for these idiots. I mean, do they really know anything about
the
area?
Yeah. That's what happens when you take too many shots.
It's something, yeah. I don't know what happened to them, but, we've talked about it on the air before, to be gay and, support Hamas, they would kill you in a millisecond. The second that you touch your foot on the ground and you say gay, that's it. Gay, you're dead. Okay?
Yeah.
Instantly.
Matt, they'd be waiting for you. They'd literally be waiting for you.
Yeah.
At the airport. Oh, there's one coming in now. Let's go.
Yeah. So, I mean, your stupidity tops. Used to call it, and I'm not going to say it the way I said it before, but the dumb A of the day. Okay.
Dumas. hey, Mr. Dumas.
So, anyway, that's what I call people that, that make this stupid things like this, they need to be awarded, they really do. It's the same thing for the LGBTQ plus 87 group, exactly the same fate, and yet they are protesting for these people. And then, I don't know if you saw this, but on Friday, a federal judge ordered the, what did they call him, the Michigan man or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, well, they ordered him to have bail and get out of jail. Can you believe
they
that?
They didn't give it to him, did
they? As far as, to my knowledge, he hasn't been released yet. Now, I'm thinking maybe the government stepped in and said, wait, we want to take this to an appeals court real quick.
Well, I don't even know why they're listening to the court. That's a whole other thing. The court has no jurisdiction in any of that.
Yeah.
No one came to them and said, hey, could you decide which is law here? No one came to them for that.
That's crazy.
You can't just make random decisions like that.
Yeah. I don't get it. I've never experienced this in my life. We actually have a president that's doing what he said he would do, and they want to stop him. I don't get it. It's insane. Okay. In the second half of the show, we've got a lot more coming up. News this week is really making us look up to the heavens. We'll be right back after a short break.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net. In a world where two kingdoms collide, understanding is key. Join us every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central, for the C2K Report with hosts Rick Hidalgo and Randy Conway. Discover how to establish your house as an embassy of Christ and navigate the clash of two kingdoms. Learn practical steps towards self-governance, from authentication to setting up your house, and access a wealth of resources in our document library at c2kreport.com. Empower yourself with knowledge and take control of your spiritual and earthly journey. And don't forget to check out shopyourfarm.com, a virtual farmer's market connecting you with quality, faith-based products and services. For more information about the C2K Report, be sure to visit c2kreport.com and shopyourfarm.com.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas, and that's Mr. David Paxton here from New York City. David, did you get everything that you wanted to get in on that last point, or did you have something else?
Well, we never get everything in. But I think we were talking about volcanoes and fun things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So I just wanted to hit, in the Bible prophecy is that they'll start to really, reel up. So yeah. Just in the last 3 months, we've had some major ones. And of course, we all know Lowotobi Laki Laki, right?
No, but it sounds dangerous. What's going on with the Lowi Waki Talki?
In Indonesia somewhere.
Okay.
But it was huge. It was like it's the one of the strongest in over 80 years. But it was like 52 times in like 3 days, something like that. And it just kept going and kept going and going. So that's coming up. Kilauea in Hawaii.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I think they had the highest spout that they've seen. Uh-huh. And then Etna. Etna's in Italy, right?
I believe so. Uh-huh.
So that's going off again. We had gone to Pompeii, and that was quite interesting. Yeah. You ever been to Pompeii?
I have not. No, I have not. I didn't know if you could actually go there and see anything or not. I didn't know.
Yeah, they actually have the old town, and it was somewhere around the time of Christ. And the entire town was just preserved because it was this pyroclastic flow. Basically, ultra-hot air and gas came down from the volcano as it went up. And they were just like, oh, that's fun. And then it came back. It started to come down. Well, basically, just... some of the people were actually...
Huh? You said at the time of Christ is that
yeah,
when this
it was
happened?
A couple thousand years ago. Yeah.
Okay. Well, David, I've always got a stupid question behind something like that, right? So, if this happened at the time of Christ, did this happen at the time of his crucifixion? This thing going off and covering everybody?
No,
up
I forgot what year it was. Let me find out real quick.
that was what flew in my mind. Okay, because there was volcano eruptions when he was crucified. There was earthquakes. And,
yeah, it all broke up. I'm sure.
Yeah.
AD 79.
Okay. So that would have been almost, 40 years? Almost, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So it was after that. So I'm sure, because of, I believe it was actually a close passby of Mars that caused a 3-hour eclipse and all the shaking of the earth and stuff.
Okay.
But that's just looking at the stars and such.
Yeah. Okay.
Because the Bible says that, they're timekeepers. So I think that certainly loosen things up a bit.
Yeah, okay. All right, well, let's look at the economic stuff here then. Okay. This week brought mounting global economic concerns. Oil prices surged as Middle East instability threatened shipping lines in the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve is at historic lows. Guess who could cause that? Leaving little room for emergency buffering. Meanwhile, diesel shortages are impacting agriculture and freight, exacerbating the inflationary pressures. Then you got the global food supply chain continues to strain under the weight of extreme weather, disrupted trade and agricultural decline. Severe drought in the Midwest, U.S., and floods in China have diminished yields of corn, wheat, and rice. Fertilizer shortages, still reverberating from the Ukraine war, further stress global food systems. The World Economic Forum called this week for urgent action to accelerate the transition to sustainable food systems, urging nations to embrace lab-grown meat and digital food tokens for rationing. Simultaneously, the push for a central bank digital currency, CBDC, advanced in the European Union, with trials expanding to include financial access gained traction, expanding to include retail users. In the U.S., discussion of digital identification systems linked to financial access gained traction, particularly in response to cybersecurity fears and misinformation controls. And I don't like anything of what I just read there. Nothing.
Well, it's all heading in that direction. I mean, we've seen this for years. It started way back in like the 1800s. Mm-hmm. All of this, the mindset of the globals, and they're generationally thinking. Those people, they're like, well, I know we're not going to get it done in our lifetime, but I want my kids, and even Rockefeller. That's why Rockefeller made the put all that money into the school system. So he says, I don't want to train kids to be smart. I need them to be workers, so my kids can make all the money,
right?
Basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So don't put your kids in the school system, you know, homeschool. It'll be much
smarter.
Well,
we try. For us, we've tried to do it, and you know, our situation is a little bit unique. I'm not going to go into it, but
yeah, well, get a local person.
Yeah,
there are homeschool groups now, So if you help support a mom who loves homeschooling, hey, I'll give you a few bucks, and then you get some kids from the neighborhood, and then you get the homeschool idea. That's where originally schools were from, and then Rockefeller bought in and says, okay, here's our curriculum.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, we're gonna teach this. But anyway, that's a sidebar.
And I'm going to go a little bit deeper into it, too, because I want parents out there to go to your school and find out what's in your libraries. We live in the country. We're out in the sticks, okay? And still, there were reports of at least one book that made it through that got into our public school system for the elementary kids there. And it's a book that I would rate as XXX.
Wow.
I don't even know what to tell you guys. You know, go see what you've got in your school library. Take it to your school board. We did. We got it out of there. But
I don't know if I'd go quite that far. I would take it out and burn it myself.
Yeah.
Oops. Hey, let me check this out. I'm sorry. It caught fire.
Chances are, David, that that's what would have happened if the school hadn't have taken it out proactively, you know. We always like to give them a shot, see if they're worth anything or not, you know.
You think of putting another one like this in there.
Yeah, we want to
remember that the entire library is made of paper. Just remember that.
Yeah, we really want to have a good library, okay. And they just did renovations to it and everything is beautiful. So, anyway.
It fits in with the narrative. Here we are talking about, the one world government. And they're like, they're manipulating the weather to have all these droughts and everything to so they can have crops that don't come up right and make seeds that you you can't grow yourself, that you got to buy from them, and then manipulate the weather. So now they have a crisis because remember this, folks, governments survive on crises. Right? If there isn't a crisis, there's no rule. There's no reason to govern anything. Right. So they look to create these things. And if it's not an actual crisis, they'll create a fake one. Mm-hmm. Right. And they found it's a lot easier and cheaper to create, you know, fake pandemics and things like that than it is. And they can actually make money on it than like, you know, wars and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Although war is always fun because then you can, you know, make money in the building the weapons. Mm-hmm. So it's all evil. It's all designed that way. Don't believe any of it. Yeah. But that goes into the we get food tokens. Everyone gets a token, and that is the black horse right there.
Yeah,
they ration it out. Okay, we'll put a yoke on these people, and you get, you know, day's wages for a loaf of bread.
Yeah,
and it's exactly what they're trying to do. The good news is, we are going to be leaving. If you are part of the Bride of Christ, we will be leaving before that. That doesn't come in until the midpoint of the 7 years, what we call the tribulation period. But that's actually the culmination of the worst part, the second half. And it doesn't come in until chapter 13 in Revelation. Mm-hmm. So while we see these things, the substructure is being built for everything. If you're a born-again Christian, we'll actually be at dinner. And I'm just trying to figure out at what point, the appetizers come first, then, you know, the main course. So are we going to be at dessert at that point? Are we going to be at coffee? We'll be somewhere in the middle of dinner time when they're trying to implement this mark of the beast.
Right.
So we just pray that Jesus comes, because Jesus is going to rectify all of this anyway. But we need to make you aware, because this is what he said would happen, which means if he said this would happen thousands of years ago, and here it is happening, who else could call that into being except someone who is outside of time and space in eternity, albeit God?
Amen.
So the rest of his word must be true as well. And that's what that smart guy was saying. He said, I could prove quantumly how the Bible is 100% true and accurate. Mm-hmm. And there's zero changes you can make in it.
They're not going to like that.
Yeah. They're on Reddit, they're already like, oh, that doesn't mean anything.
Let's look at this, David, from a prophetic lens here. The alignment
of
Iran, Syria, Lebanon. Hostile actors against Israel mirrors the warnings there in Ezekiel 38 and 39, Isaiah 17. Israel's increasingly isolated posture and simultaneous northern and eastern threats foreshadow the prophesied time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. The convergence of nations against Israel reflects Zechariah's vision. I'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about. That's Zechariah 12, 2. And the global community is fractured in response. While some Western nations call for de-escalation, others begin covert mobilization of forces in the region, hinting at proxy escalation. Peace seems further than ever, and the cries for a strong mediator, potentially a global peacemaker, have grown louder. This intensifies speculation surrounding the rise of Antichrist figure prophesied in 2 Thessalonians 2 and Revelation 13. And let me see here. Let me look at
what
this
else
one.
We got? Fun things.
Yeah, let's look at this one real quick. Let's see. No, that's not it. This one is, I think. Yeah. Across Europe and Asia, geopolitical chessboard shifting rapidly. NATO conducting its largest readiness exercise since the Cold War, with over 90,000 troops mobilized across the Baltics and Eastern Europe. Russia has begun massing troops near the Ukraine. China continues aggressive behavior in the South China Sea. Just a whole lot of stuff, David, that's coming true. You know, that's really what I'm trying to get at here. There's a whole lot of stuff that was written about thousands of years ago, and now we're seeing it all lay out right in front of our eyes, and people are still too blind to see it. If you get on the news, I mean, they'll show you some of what we have, but not all of it, you know, and they sure can't explain it. They don't have the first idea why this is happening. But, I mean, we see it happening, and, you know, we've called the shots is what's going to happen next numerous times. Go ahead.
Here's next.
Yeah.
That was the main thing, you know, when I was 15, that was the big thing, is all this. I said, look, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, this is all happening. There's no one else who could have written this, you know, thousands of years ago, you know, 2,000, 3,000 years ago. Who else could write that unless it was God? And if it's true, then the rest of it must be true. So I just, from there, I just had faith and believed that, you know, Jesus was God. Mm-hmm. He came to save your sins. You need to receive him. And there you go. Now, the Bible also says people will be willingly ignorant.
Yeah, and they are right now.
Like Kent Hovind says, they're dumb on purpose. Because it's a choice. Like they know this stuff is true, and if you're out there and you're listening to this just for the sake of trying to poke fun at us or ridicule us in some way, you're only trying to justify your errancy, your incompetence is basically what it is. You refuse to believe. It's not that you don't believe. It's you purposely refuse to believe, and you're looking for some reason that we're going to make a mistake so you can blame the Bible. Well, we are going to make mistakes.
Right.
Surprise, surprise. But the Bible does not. So we're just pointing you in that direction. So if you're seeing this stuff and you're wondering why it's happening, just listen to your spirit. Your spirit will tell you the truth if you're asking the Holy Spirit for guidance.
Amen.
Go ahead. Do it.
Amen. Yeah, I mean, that's really perfect. As a matter of fact, I usually put this up at the end of the show, but I'm going to put it up now because that was just really powerful, and I want people to take advantage of it. You know, if you haven't yet received the gift of salvation, it's very simple. Just admit you're a sinner. Tell God you know you've sinned and ask for forgiveness. Then believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died on the cross and rose again as full payment for your sins. Confess with your mouth that you believe in him and let him come to you and accept him as your Lord and personal Savior. And now, if you'll just pray a prayer like that and you would like to let it be known to the world, we'll just call you a name like, Sam accepted Jesus Christ on this particular day, you know, and we want to congratulate him. So, you know, if you'd like to do that, we'd be happy to do it for you. So just email us at office@lastchristian.net. That's office@lastchristian.net, and we'll get you out there. If you want to tell us a story, that's fine too. You know, we'll tell the world your story.
I got questions.
Whatever you want to
do. You need a Bible?
Yeah. We'll send you one. We will provide people with a link where you can be able to study the Bible in easy to understand language as our free gift to you as you begin your journey as a new creation. To look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And let me tell you something from a personal standpoint here. It does. I mean, it's like there's just like this window opens up, you know, and then the window gets wider and wider and wider, and your responsibilities get greater and greater and greater, and your time, it gets taken up more and more and more, and your happiness level goes through the roof. You're just as happy as you can be. I mean, that's really really what it's like. At least that was what it was like for me, David.
Yeah, and it's always more better. You know, when you're trying to chase the things of the world, you know, somewhere in your brain you think that's going to make you happy, and it just doesn't.
Right.
You know, when none of that matters and you're just at peace with the Lord, I mean, that's so much better. You can sleep better. You can eat better. And you're not worried about what people think or anything. You just know that, hey, we're going to do the work of the Lord today. And, you know, in a matter of moments, we will be home in eternity with him.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Yeah. And nobody knows the date and time that this happens. I think from all of our reading of the Bible and also of a few other sources that are out there. And when I say other sources, I'm talking about books that have been written that are credible. You know, it's credible information written by somebody. It's not the Bible. There can be errors in it, but they're good reference material to go to kind of back up whatever you're reading in the Bible, or open up the window to it just a little bit more or whatever. Be careful with, and David will tell you, he knows all mm-hmm. of them. Be careful with some of them. If something sounds funny, let us know, and we'll we'll let you know. Okay, we'll let you know real quick. You know, but basing everything on everything that's going on in the Bible right now, I'm seeing time coming down here real quick. Mm-hmm. And I think people need to accept Jesus Christ. I've kind of rambled on here, David. If you made any sense out of anything I said, go ahead.
When you look at entropy, and that's all things are decaying in the universe. That's the second law of thermodynamics called entropy. Mm-hmm. Well, basically, everything is falling apart. It works towards the destruction of itself. Just like if you leave anything sit on the table, it will eventually disintegrate, some faster than others. Mm-hmm. It'll just fall apart. But that, what most people don't realize is that includes the constants of the universe, like mm-hmm. light speed. You know, people are going to they're going to think I'm crazy for saying light. Just look it up. Light, the speed of light has been slowing down. All right. Do your research first and then come back and try and make fun of me.
Yeah. Right.
In the meantime, light is slowing down, which means the clocks are going to move mm-hmm. faster. Okay, and that's exactly what the Bible says. It says it'll cut a third of the day and a third of the night and a third of this and a third of that. There'll come a point where, it slows down, and then it hits the point of no return. It'll boof. You know, that's what happens with any kind of destruction. It'll slow, and then it hits a point, and then it's like heavy duty. Just like the pressure, you see a little pressure in these volcanoes. It'll pressure, mm-hmm. pressure. You'll see a little bit come up, and then all of a sudden it'll explode. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to see. And we're seeing the pressure building up on all these events of Bible history. Mm-hmm. And it's going to come that one moment where it just goes poof, mm-hmm. and it explodes. So people think, it's going to take years to do this and that and the other. Well, it may. But there is going to be that one point. And our common idiom is that's the straw that broke the camel's back. Mm-hmm. Okay. Whereas, it's just a straw, but it was the very last straw. Mm-hmm. Boop. And or like I always tell my kids, I got one nerve left and you're on it.
Right. Yeah. My wife has used that. Yeah. My wife has used that one a lot. Let me tell you.
Well, with you, I could see that. Yeah. But that's where we're at. We're at the end of the age. All of a sudden, it's going to explode. All of a sudden, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, a giant portion of the population will have changed, and then we'll be going out, okay? And then this entire world structure is going to be completely different. Mm-hmm. So don't be dumb on purpose. Look to the Lord. It is ending. We mm-hmm. see it, for the last 45 years now, just looking at these things, saying, yep, here it is. We're in the end, and it takes that long. Remember, Jesus was crucified in 30, 33, depending on your calendar. But it wasn't until AD 70 that it was actually the end of the temple age, because mm-hmm. that's when the temple was destroyed. So that was 40 some odd years later.
Right.
So what we think is slow, God says, I don't count that as slackness. He counts it as mercy. Mm-hmm. And let me touch on that too, since the Holy Spirit says touch on this.
Okay.
Methuselah. Remember Methuselah, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, he's recorded at 969 years old, and he died. If you look at the other books, Jubilees and whatnot, he died, and then that's when the flood came, because that's what his name means. Methuselah means his death will bring the judgment, basically. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so they were looking for him to die. And die, and he's looking for him. He's like, well, come on, he's 900 years old. You know? Well, no, and we still got 69 years left, but he didn't tell him that. And then the reason Noah was in the ark and just hanging out for 7 days is that was the time of mourning. So they would mourn people for 7 days. So Methuselah died, and then they were locked in the ark. They mourned for him for 7 days, and then the floods came.
Okay.
Okay. So, and there's a lot of other things there. But he was the oldest recorded life, which tells me that, yeah, his death will bring the judgment, but God in his mercy stretched it out to the longest period. So he is merciful. And but when that point comes, that's it. It's cut off.
Yeah.
There's no more mercy at that point. All right. You entered into a completely different stage of history. And what we call that final week of Daniel chapter 9, that 7 year period, where we're going to see the earth decay into chaos and the judgment is coming and all that. So we shift to that. And that is specifically to bring Israel to repentance, which they will do.
Right.
Two-thirds will be cut off, but then the third that's brought through will actually repent and receive and say, oh, this is our Messiah. Look at the piercing in the hands. Say, who did that? He's like, my friends. And now they're going to mourn. They're literally going to cry because they're like, oh, my goodness. This was our Messiah who we've been looking for, and we did this to him. We rejected him all these years. And they will repent, but it's going to be chaos and mayhem. And if you miss the rapture, then it's going to be fun and interesting for 7 years. Let's just put it that way.
Well, I wouldn't say it was going to be fun.
You're going to have a different role, though.
Yeah.
It's going to be a completely different role. It'd be very interesting, but I'd rather watch from the mezzanine while we're eating.
Thank you very much for that. Yeah.
Hey, Joel, look.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll handle that, David. That I can do. I can't be down there handling it, you know, on the ground.
You're in the midst of it. No.
Ooh, you'll
be like,
no,
oh, hey, no. Jesus said the mountains would melt like wax. Look at that one over there.
Yeah.
On the whole earth. Look, it's toppling. The earth is going to and fro.
Yeah, we can't
have any of that stuff. Island fleed. Look at the island just disappeared. Huh. How about that?
Oh, man. Okay. Well, let's see here. I'm going to put this one up on screen real quick. We've got a little bit of time left. In light of 2 Thessalonians 2:3, the falling away appears to be well underway. Yet even amid persecution, there is revival stirring underground. Bibles are being smuggled into closed countries, and testimonies of dreams and visions about Christ are increasing in Muslim-majority regions. The remnant church continues to stand, though increasingly marginalized, calling for repentance and readiness. The spirit of the Antichrist is active, but so is the call for the Bible to prepare herself, Revelation 9:7. The convergence of global lawlessness, persecution, deception, and moral decay echoes the days of Noah and Lot, confirming Jesus' warning in Luke 17:26-30. So, what you think there, David? You think the falling away has started?
Yeah, I think there's a couple things. It talks about the falling away. The word is apostasia. And in context, I am of the opinion that is the rapture, actually.
Yeah.
Because church has been falling away since it started. There was heretics
really
back then. They even got the book against heresies. So, not till the falling away. But then it says, and the appearing of the men of sin. Whoa, that sounds like tribulation period to me. So I think that's indicative of the rapture. And then, we say, the bride has to make herself ready. And some people are like, the church is going to take over and that she's going to make herself ready. Nah, Jesus is going to rescue her. And then while in the preparation place for the dinner, that's when she's going to make herself ready. And then we come back with him.
Right.
So if you want to be with us and go to the dinner and get yourself all dolled up for the wedding, it's going to be fun when Jesus comes.
Amen.
He paid for your sins. So this way you can be with him. Imagine that. He dove into the fire pit to drag you out. Okay? So probably best not to make fun of him for that. He loves you. He wants you with him. And I would encourage you to receive Christ. Just accept him as your Lord and Savior today. Lord willing, we will see you next time, guys. Have a blessed day.
Looking for a simple way to support the Last Christian Radio Show without spending a single extra dime? Just visit www.lastchristian.net and check out our trusted partners, The Conservative Store, where your values match your purchases. Everyday Dose Coffee, for better energy, sharper focus, and gut-friendly ingredients. Christian Book, your source for Bibles, devotionals, and faith-based gifts. Whether you're grabbing your morning coffee, shopping for patriotic gear, or adding to your Christian library, you're not just buying great products. You're helping us spread the gospel worldwide. And here's the best part. You're going to buy this stuff anyway. Why not shop with a purpose and support a ministry that's boldly sharing God's truth? Visit www.lastchristian.net today and click the links that make a difference.